The Green Bay Packers are in the midst of training camp and the pads have come on, so it's time to separate the haves from the have-nots. Joining us on the show today is Virginia Tech Associate Athletic Director Pete Morris, formerly a public relations executive in the NFL. We'll talk to him about members of the Packers coaching staff. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about training camp. The pads have come on and practice is underway. And to talk a little Packers football today and other matters football as well, we have a guest joining us on the phone this morning.
Expert interview.
We have Pete Morris, Associate Athletic Director at Virginia Tech University, formerly a 17-year public relations executive in the NFL with the Kansas City Chiefs. Mr. Morris, how are you doing this morning?
Great to join you, Brian. It's a beautiful day here in Blacksburg. I'm looking out at the stadium, and guess what? We get the number one college football team in the country here on September 7th, the Ohio State Buckeyes. So I might as well jump right into the fire here. But obviously, Virginia Tech winning that game last year in Columbus, and I think Ohio State may be a little bit fired up for this game, as are our fans.
That's really cool. I'm going to get to some Virginia Tech football in a second, but being a Packers show, I want to start at the beginning. Now, you're a Wisconsin native. Did you grow up a Packers fan?
Oh, my goodness. You know, one of the great thrills of my tenure with the Chiefs was to have a training camp visit in River Falls, Wisconsin from Lynn Dickey. I mean, the quarterback of my Packers youth. So, it's been very cool to work in the sports industry and meet some of those guys, the Paul Kaufmans, the James Loftons, the Lynn Dickeys, and a lot of those guys who were on teams that weren't quite as successful as the current generation of Packers fans is enjoying.
It's too bad they couldn't get some defense in the NFL, because those guys you just mentioned, they were great on offense at the time. But anyway, you begin your professional career with the Kansas City Chiefs, where you spent 17 years, including when Packers head coach Mike McCarthy broke into the NFL. So, Mr. Morris, my question is, what changes have you seen in McCarthy since his humble beginnings?
Well, I think the great thing about Mike is, you know, he's one of those guys up that Marty Schottenheimer tree, and I think Mike's always stayed true to his roots of being a Western Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh kind of guy. And you know, I think if you look at, Marty never got to the big one, you think about Tony Dungy and Bill Cowher and Mike, who've all gone on to win the Super Bowl, and you've got Bruce Arians, who's now doing a great job in Arizona. So, yeah, I think Mike is a guy who knew who he was, believed in some, you know, tried and true principles, but hasn't been afraid to evolve either. So, you know, from that perspective, I think those are things, you know, in that sort of position, you definitely have to be rooted in what your beliefs are, but smart enough to know when, you know what, let's try something different.
How much of an influence do you think his time working with Joe Montana had on McCarthy and the quarterbacks he's worked with since, including Aaron Rodgers?
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, his pedigree of quarterbacks that he's worked with and Mormons have worked with, I mean, there's a certain amount of being in the right place at the right time of getting able to work with some guys who are maybe very talented, but there's also something to be said for maximizing what you have with those guys, and maybe some of those guys in that group have performed at a level higher than anybody thought they could have when they came out in the draft. I think Aaron Rodgers is maybe a great example of that.
So you mentioned Tom Clements. He followed in Mike McCarthy's footsteps as a quarterback's coach of the Chiefs. And, you know, speaking of personalities, Tom Clements is kind of known as a salty kind of guy. And you know, I don't mean to speak poorly about him, but I've always wondered if that's kind of worked against him in terms of progressing up the ladder in the coaching ranks. Do you think hiring decisions take into account when coaches are kind of asked to be the face of the franchise?
Yeah, I think for every coaching position that comes open, each organization has got a different idea of who the right fit is for them. Mm-hmm. And there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, Tom is a very smart guy. I mean, when you're digging through your law books after flights home from CFL games, I mean, there's something to be said for you know, the intellect. But I think the ability to connect with players and to lead, those are things that everybody has a different way of doing that. There's no one way to do it. And you just go down the list of some guys that have, you know, come from that Schottenheimer family tree, and they've all kind of, particularly those three guys that have won the Super Bowl, they've done it in different ways. And Tony Dungy and Bill Cowher and Mike are all different personalities. Mm-hmm. But I think you go back to the ability to scheme, to evaluate talent, and then to maximize the potential of your players. And I think those things are common among that group.
No doubt, successful. No, definitely part of the factor there. One more Packers coach that made his way through Kansas City during your time there, Ron Zook, hired as the Packers' current special teams coordinator. Do you think the Zooker at all will struggle with going from a head coach where he kind of had control over the entire program to being an assistant?
Well, the interesting thing is my first real job, per se, full-time, I was a GA at the University of Florida back in 1993, where our defensive coordinator was a guy by the name of Ron Zook.
Okay.
And so I've had a chance to work with him a couple times, and I'd be remiss if I did not add that he was an original member of Frank Beamer's Virginia Tech staff here.
All right.
I came with Frank from Murray State. So, one of the great lines that that Ron had when we were at Florida, we're actually riding to a Sugar Bowl practice, and he says, "You know, Pete, the two biggest wastes of time are eating and sleeping. Can't get any work done if you're eating or sleeping." So that's always kind of stuck with me, and you know, I've tried to hopefully keep the same kind of energy level that that Ron has. But I think he's a and we ran into each other, I think, about 6 years in a row, it seemed like, when he was in Pittsburgh as a special teams coach, and they played at Arrowhead about 4 or 5 or 6 years in a row. So we'd always have a quick pregame chat, and stayed in touch with him over the years. And I just tell him, make sure you stay upright on those water skis, Coach.
The biggest waste of time, eating and sleeping. I like that. We're talking to Virginia Tech Associate Athletic Director Pete Morris here at Railbird Central on a Monday morning. Now, Mr. Morris, one more. After your time at Kansas City, you worked at the University of Oklahoma, where the Packers also recently hired Jerry Montgomery from. Obviously, being a newcomer, we don't know much about Montgomery yet. So tell us a little bit about him and his status as kind of an up-and-comer in football.
Yeah, and again, I'm not familiar with exactly how he fits into the scheme of things with, you know, Coach Capers and the defensive staff there. But I do know this, when Stoops calls you a rising star in the profession, that's a pretty good endorsement. Mm-hmm. And I think it's pretty accurate as well. I mean, Jerry's a guy who played the game, was actually the last, as I understand it, the last recruit that came in that Hayden Fry had a hand in recruiting at Iowa. So he's got a very good pedigree, has not had anything handed to him. So in a lot of respects, he's a lot like Coach McCarthy in the fact that, hey, he's earned the opportunity to coach at that level. And very, very passionate recruiting standpoint, was somebody that was very honest and built a lot of relationships. And I'm sure that's something that in terms of the current roster there with the Packers that he's working on as well. So in any event, I think that's a very good hire by the Packers, and a guy that you know, hopefully you'll see help make an impact for him on defense.
Okay, as a public relations professional, I want to talk to you about public relations practices for a second. Curious to pick your brain on this, on how you react to new and emerging media. And my bias is going to come out here. The Packers are extremely hesitant to credential the so-called bloggers, you know, from the networks like SB Nation, Bleacher Report, FanSided, and of course I represent 24/7 Sports. I've been denied credentials from the Packers many times, and yet my full-time job is to cover the Packers, and I can't even get access to the team. I'm curious, how do you decide at Virginia Tech or wherever you've been to credential an outlet?
Yeah, that's really a question that each individual team and organization has to determine. And certainly, with a big game against Ohio State coming up here, we've got everybody in known to man. Particularly since that's a Monday night game that is going to try to come in for this game. And I know certainly the Packers fall into that category in terms of, you know, national and local interests.
Mm-hmm.
It's really one of those things that you handle on a case by case basis of. The threshold here may be a little different than the threshold is in Chicago or or Green Bay or Ohio State. So those are all questions that I think there's no black and white answer. It's probably the proper way to say it, but it's definitely something that's changed over the years as you've got traditional print folks, us doing web and radio, and there's a blurry line of where it used to be, well, your TV, radio, or your print. Well, you can't say that anymore. So it's definitely something that everybody takes a look at very carefully, and at the end of the day, there's probably not enough room for everybody who to be there.
Yeah. I don't mean for you to answer to the Packers, but it is kind of an interesting question, seeing as it's become such a big thing nowadays, and Packers have been slow to adapt to the change. Tell me about Virginia Tech. Has the level of excitement risen since it was announced Ohio State has suspended four players for this opener?
Well, I would tell you this. I guess it was on Thursday when there was some of that news came out of Big 12 or Big 10 Media Day in Chicago, and there was definitely an uptick in the number of Twitter mentions that included the game. That way, but I think our head coach has indicated this may be the most anticipated game by fans here in Blacksburg, and obviously last year's result in Columbus plays into that. But I think we've also got a pretty good team. I think you know, we've probably got one of the best corner prospects in the country, and Kendall Fuller, and of course Central are familiar with his brothers Kyle and Corey.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty family pedigree. And again, you think about Frank Beamer, you know, Southwest Virginia, not a whole lot different than Western Pennsylvania. He's got this lunch pail that has kind of gone around with the team for about 20 years, and we've given that a little love on ESPN and at AC Media Day. So I think he'd fit in pretty good with that Schottenheimer McCarthy kind of group of Western Pennsylvania. You know, put on your hard hat and your lunch pail, put in a full day's work, and find a way to win. It doesn't always have to be pretty.
Well, I'm excited for some Enter Sandman on Labor Day evening as the team enters the stadium. I'm excited to watch that game because it'll be the only game going on in pretty much the whole world of sports. So I'm excited for it. Pete, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We're happy to get your perspective on all things football, and best of luck to you in that game.
All right, very good. Well, I was in today by Panther Stadium, and I have a feeling there will Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, and I have a feeling there'll be a few Wisconsinites in the stands on November 8th when the Packers are facing the Panthers down in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Ah, very good, very good. Well, again, best of luck and thanks for joining us.
All right, you're very welcome. Go right. Packers.
Take care. Pete Morris, Associate Athletic Director at Virginia Tech, joining us, sharing some perspective on football from the college game to the pro game. And the Packers, many members of the Packers coaching staff. So glad to talk to him. Glad to have you, the listener, joining us as well as the show continues on.
Packers news of the day.
Okay, so the Packers training camp is underway. Last time we talked was on Friday. The Packers hadn't put the pads on yet. They have since that time. So big step in training camp. Pads have come on. So, you know, all of a sudden you get physical, but with it comes a little bit of injury as well. And one of the big stories emerging over the weekend, Packers Pro Bowl offensive lineman Josh Sitton getting a lot of rest, basically sitting out contact drills from from what I can tell from reports. I haven't been to training camp yet. I'm going there this week, so I haven't seen him myself. But, you know, according to the many reporters that cover the team, Josh Sitton sitting out contact. He's practiced, no doubt about it. Don't let me give the impression that he hasn't practiced, but he's kind of been limited, and you kind of think, oh, it's so early in camp. I mean, it's he should be healthier than ever right now. So, you know, that's why I guess why it concerns me. And I asked people on Twitter before the show, what's your level of concern with Josh sitting out? And you know, apparently Packers Nation is less concerned than I am. Not to say there's no concern whatsoever, but here's the responses I got from Colton Kreselak. Like a minus three, that's his level of concern. So not hardly at all. Salvatore Iapolo says very low concern level, at least for now. Last year he was phenomenal playing hurt, so let him rest for now. There you go. Very similar sentence here from Dan Stitches on Twitter, saying considering he played most of last year with a torn ligament in his big toe, very little concern. So, I mean, here's a guy who knows how to play through injury in Josh Sitton. So, if there's anybody that can do it, this guy can do it. Kyle Patrick on Twitter says, level of concern zero. I was glad to hear they wanted to stay out ahead of the injury. It's not like he's not getting his work in still. Paul Burkholz on Twitter says, not at all concerned. We have plenty of depth to battle for roster spots behind him. And a proven Pro Bowler rest up for the Super Bowl run. And maybe kind of one person who is maybe a little bit concerned, Samuel Shear on Twitter says, I'm just slightly concerned. It's early in camp, though. So most people not too concerned about Josh Sitton and sitting out early in training camp, regardless of anything else that may or may not be wrong with them. Neither Sitton nor McCarthy would exactly come out and say precisely what's wrong, whether it's related to the toe or not, although Sitton seemed to indicate his toe was fine, according to a report by Bob McGinn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who also referenced that in the past, Sitton has dealt with both back and knee flare-ups, so it's possible that's what he's dealing with. The reporters tried their best to get word out of him and McCarthy, and they didn't really get a straight answer. They, you know, obviously players and team are hesitant, especially when it's something, you know, kind of minor to indicate what it is. The last thing they want to do is you know, let an opponent know what's wrong with you in case there's some dirty player out there who's specifically going to target that area during a game and a preseason game that's coming up. So I understand it from that standpoint, although you just hope that it's something that doesn't continue to linger on here. Other news, tight end Andrew Corliss took part in training camp for the first time since it opened on Saturday. Corliss, of course, was arrested earlier this offseason. The word has been he's been dealing with a difficult family situation, which I'm still unsure whether it has to do with his arrest or not, because just Mike McCarthy being vague about things and not really coming out and saying, and I understand a lot of times when it is very personal, they allow a player to comment on those situations if they want. You know, Mike McCarthy doesn't want to speak for a player. But I don't know, can a family situation be, related to his legal troubles? I mean, obviously there's things he needs to deal with there and gets his ducks in a row. I mean, it could be very much related to, his dealings with a lawyer and when, if Andrew Corliss is working, is his, family working with him, representing him? I don't know these questions, and Corliss has not met the media either. In fact, Andrew Corliss has not publicly commented on anything since he's been arrested back on July 4th, so almost a month now, and he has yet to say anything, hasn't met with the media even after he practiced this past Saturday. At least he hasn't, to my knowledge, or I haven't seen it if he has. But anyway, he did take part in practice, though, on Saturday. First time, it was the team's first padded practice, and the Packers kind of eased him back into action. Mike McCarthy talked about how they were being smart with him, seeing as he kind of missed the first 2 days of camp, kind of almost treated it like, Andrew Corliss was not wearing pads. They wanted to save the contact for after he's had a few days back first. And understandably so. So anyway, Andrew Corliss getting back into the swing of things. It's good that the attention is a little bit, back on just getting back to football for him. I think that's the best thing for Andrew Corliss, is to focus on football right now, obviously. And it's he took that first step back. There's lots of hurdles he's got to clear here and lots of questions he's going to have to answer to eventually. But for the moment being, getting back into action, and presumably is back in action today as well. Other news, I thought, here's kind of some off-the-field issues we talked about. Andrew Corliss, Josh Sitton, dealing with injury. That the news is that they weren't playing. The biggest, development, I think, maybe on the field that happened on Saturday was safety Sean Richardson kind of getting some snaps at the nickel cornerback position. And, this is something the Packers did very, very sparingly last season. They kind of went to a big, quote-unquote, big nickel package last year. And it basically happened in run-stuff situations. And for whatever reason, the Packers really like to use it. Whenever a team was backed up on their own goal line, Sean Richardson would come in as kind of the nickel back, just kind of the type of defensive back who's liable to be a little bit more of a run stuffer and a little more physical and things like that. Now, you have to be careful because, of course, I mean, he's going to be responsible for guarding a slot wide receiver. So, I mean, if a team comes out in a 3 or 4 wide receiver, formation, Sean Richardson's going to have to guard the Randall Cobb types playing the slot. And that can be difficult for a guy as big as him. He's not quite known as being a fast guy. He's known for being physical and big, but not exactly, the type who excels in being in space necessarily. So I'm not sure what to think of this. I mean, is it just simply, the Packers kind of debuted this personnel package kind of like the last month or so of the season, it seemed like. It wasn't that way early on. And is it just a case where they plan to use it all year long, or is Sean Richardson actually going to be playing a little more nickel cornerback than usual? Little bit unusual, seeing as they have other options like, Micah Hyde and Casey Hayward and these rookies now who, might be a little bit more suited, I think, to the position. And not that Sean Richardson can't kind of play the nickel, kind of slot. If the Packers were in a base defense and Sean Richardson was the strong safety, he would have to, guard the slot receiver too. So it's not like it's totally foreign to him. But just, again, interesting here that the Packers kind of debuting that so early in camp, something they just used sparingly last year and now kind of getting to it right out of the gate this year. So and one more kind of interesting situation. Wide receiver Adrian Coxon was hospitalized, according to Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com. I mean, we knew Adrian Coxon, rookie undrafted rookie wide receiver, dropped out of practice on Saturday. Mike McCarthy called it a fatigue issue. Kind of, you know, a little bit scary that a guy apparently he dropped out early, too. I mean, before, you know, practice even really got underway, and it wasn't even necessarily hot out at the time. I mean, Packers practicing at 8:20 a.m., and yeah, it might get hot later in the day, but it's, you know, relatively mild temperatures, you know, at this time of day in Green Bay. So a little bit scary situation that a guy would actually be hospitalized for fatigue or what, you know. I'm not sure precisely what happened. They haven't come out and said exactly why. I suppose fatigue just could be the answer. But anyway, he's apparently been, you know, released from the hospital. Hopefully he's all right and will come back. So that just kind of developed on Saturday, and we'll see where he is here as the Packers kind of continue, get back to practice today. And that leads us into our next segment.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers this Monday, it is the first day back from practice after the Packers were off earlier on Sunday. Sunday was the first day on NFL mandated. If you think the Packers or Mike McCarthy was being soft on his players, you know, it wasn't that. It's 3 days on, and you have to have a break early in training camp, mandated by the NFL. So anyway, Packers getting back following their first day off here on Monday. And, you know, I'm just seeing right now, since the show has started, the Packers have announced a signing here. So kind of breaking news, so to speak. The Packers have signed wide receiver Ed Williams. He played 3 seasons at Fort Hays State. I'll be honest, I know nothing about Ed Williams, although one would think that, you know, maybe this is partially a response to the Packers having multiple injuries or issues at the wide receiver position, that being, you know, Adrian Coxon for one, but on top of that, wide receiver Jared Aberderis, who suffered a concussion. Kind of we learned about that last week with the Green Bay Packers, and which really, you know, kind of comes as a concern. You know, they thought Jared Aberderis, McCarthy thought at first it might have been his tailbone or something. Turns out he has a concussion, and Jared Aberderis, this is now multiple concussions he's had in his career. That came during a non-contact, you know, practice, drill, whatever. You just, anytime you, a player starts having multiple incidents of concussions, you really get scared for the guy's overall health and well-being, and you wonder, I'm not saying this is the case, but you wonder if this, you know, could be career threatening. I mean, because there were rumors. Talked about Bob McGinn earlier. He reported when Jared Aberderis was coming out for the NFL draft, he cited NFL executives saying Jared Aberderis had suffered 3 or 4 concussions in college. Now, Aberderis would only admit to one. I don't know where this is coming from, whether that's just, you know, be hearsay and scuttlebutt and it's not true whatsoever, or that's just Jared Aberderis trying to, you know, not wanting, you know, his draft stock to fall or whatever. I don't know. And it's kind of weird. I mean, I suppose we should take his word for it. Regardless, he Jared Aberderis has admitted to one concussion during college. This would be his second. So now we have multiple concussions. Just a concern here that I don't know how long he'll be out. So anyway, you know, Aberderis is out, Coxon is out. So the Packers making a play here for a new wide receiver to kind of take some of those reps. The Packers have had two roster spots open for a while here, so they've been able to add a guy without having to cut anyone, so not really a big deal, no matter what the health situation here is. Really, it's not like they had to cut anyone to make room for him. Packers just had room to spare. And other big news on Monday, apparently cornerback Quentin Rollins has been taken off the non-football injury list and is practicing on Monday for the first time. You remember he opened training camp on the NFI list, which means he had to hurt himself not with the Packers. If you're on the NFI list, non-football, means you did it working out on your own, or not necessarily even working out, just whatever it happened. It didn't happen in a while you were working with the football team. Sometimes those things just happen, you know, with the guys who had the fireworks that blew off in their hands. That would be a non-football injury thing as well. But with Quentin Rollins, so he apparently hurt his hamstring working out on his own, and all of a sudden you're concerned because of all the hamstring issues the Packers have had in the past, including Casey Hayward. But, it's good to see. He missed 3 days of training camp, the first 3 days. You know, if he was going to miss any time, again, the silver lining is that it happened early on. Now he's already back. That's good. He's going to be back in time for the Packers family night. That's kind of what they're working up to this week, the annual practice taking place in front of a sold-out stadium at Lambeau Field this upcoming Saturday. So assuming there are no setbacks, which cross your fingers, knock on wood, there's not going to be one of those, be able to see Quentin Rollins in a Packers jersey this upcoming Saturday, and he can get back into the cornerback competition. That's been, nothing but good things early on from guys like Demaryius Randall, from Ladarius Gunter, these rookies, it absolutely great things being said about them, their performance early on in training camp. That is fantastic to hear that these rookies are coming in and making an impact. I know some people are higher on Rollins than they were on those other two rookies. So, well, whatever the case, more competition from the rookies, that's only going to push everybody on the roster even more. So nothing but good things coming out of the secondary early in training camp. So, and I'm just seeing right now, Clay Matthews, linebacker Clay Matthews, again, breaking news here as the show is live. Clay Matthews not practicing today. He's not in pads. He is present, just not in pads. So I don't know what's happening here, whether it's related to the hamstring issues he's had in the past. He's had the broken hand in the past. I don't know what it has to do with. All we know is Clay Matthews not practicing early on here. And for a Pro Bowler, you kind of have, a little bit of concern. Although, Clay Matthews, give him credit, he played in all 16 games last year. So, he kind of had a reputation as kind of an injury-plagued player, but Clay Matthews really fought through a lot of things last year and played in all 16 games. So give him credit for that, and maybe it is just something minor here, and he'll be back in no time. We'll see. A situation worth monitoring here. But anyway, that'll do it for today's show, folks. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us here on a Monday morning as Packers training camp is underway. Stay tuned. We'll try to find out more at 24/7 Sports when we learn about it. Any injury situations here about Rollins coming back, about Clay Matthews sitting out, we'll get word later on. So, anyway, that'll do it. Thanks to Pete Morris, Associate Athletic Director at Virginia Tech, for joining us on the show. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us. We'll be back again on Wednesday, the live edition of the show, 8:30 a.m. Central Time every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, podcasted and live on demand later in the day. We'll see you, folks. I leave you today with a song called On the Road by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. Go Pack, go.